from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Cliff and Robin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and welcome again to another Saturday edition of Oregon Update. We're here live on the air right now at KRBN Internet News Talk Radio, where you two can be live with us right now with me, Robin, there, Cliff, at 646-721-9887. There, I got it right out of the way, right off the top, right out of the chute. So there.
Right out of the chute. Something. Okay, you know, I in my opinion, they should get rid of the pennies and the nickels, and possibly even the dimes too. That has for people listening, that doesn't mean anything to you because they didn't know what we were talking about, because that was before we were on the air. But we were talking about getting rid of
before we
coins.
Were on the air. They shouldn't have been listening before we were on the air.
No, they should have been. Then we didn't know who we were talking about. But since they weren't listening, that's what we were talking about was. Because it's just ridiculous to have – it costs more to make a penny and a nickel than it does face value, and probably even a dime. But
For people that don't know what the heck we're talking about, which usually even includes the on-air personalities, one of the things that we were talking about before we went live here was somebody's brilliant idea – for helping with the debt by minting the trillion-dollar coin, and
I don't see how that helps with anything.
Well, I mean, if anybody, okay, here's the thing. I mean, granted, maybe the government coming up with a raffle thing or something like that. You know, ideas to kind of help raise some money without raising taxes, fees, and all the other fun stuff that usually robs us out of our pockets. Like, hey, why don't we just sell a collector's item? Great. How many people do you know that, for one, can afford to go buy a trillion-dollar coin, and for two, would be dumb enough to do it? I mean, what? I mean, literally. I mean, it's like they say that you can have a collector's item, but it's only like you can have a collector's car, for example, a classic car, but it's only worth what people are willing to pay for. So now that you have this stupid trillion-dollar coin that you invested $1 trillion in, I mean, one, do you get to write off $1 trillion on your taxes? Probably not. Two, how are you going to get your money back out of it?
Well, see, the whole thing is ridiculous because nobody would buy it for $1 trillion. So when they did, when they sold bonds and things like that, they sold them for less than they were worth when they got old, and consequently, you bought say a $10 bond for $7 because you waited 2 or 3 or 4 years or whatever it was, and then it was worth $10. So you made money on it.
Right.
You're not on this. I mean, unless they mint their $10 trillion coin and sell it for $750 billion, and then in 10 years it's worth $1 trillion, I mean, it isn't worth anything. I mean, there's no need to do it. And the thing is, you can't sell enough of those. You can't sell enough of those things, that type of thing, to make up the deficit.
Well, you know, maybe that's the thing they need to do again. I mean, can you still buy bonds?
Oh, yeah. And they're so good. But you can't sell enough of them to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Well, but even still, maybe that's what, like they did during the war effort. Maybe that's what they should do, start pushing to buy bonds to help reduce the deficit instead of, you know, like I said, robbing our pocketbooks with new taxes and stuff.
Well, but see, that was okay back when the deficit was $10,000 or $1 billion. But when it's $10 trillion, it doesn't mean anything. You cannot sell enough of them. We're not going to get out of this deficit that we've got. We've got enough of a deficit right now. We've spent enough money right now that we don't have, and we're so far in debt right now that we're never going. Get me my emphasis here. We are never going to get out of it. The only way we're going to get out of it is to go broke. The whole country is going to go broke. We've got to all these people that are owed money to. And I'm real glad that I am not somebody that the government has bought something from, because you may not get paid for it at this particular time already.
Well, and I totally agree with you. And since they don't really seem to care about getting the budget, their spending and everything else, that we're not going to get out of this. But anyway, if people are wondering, like I say, you can get a hold of us and talk about this or anything else on the list that we have to talk about.
Well, you filled that out. You completely did all that at the beginning of the program.
I did, but we have more.
Oh.
We do have more, remember? we talked about before the show, we do this thing called, show preparation.
Oh, well, we can do that if we want to. But the point is, they know how to get a hold of us.
That's
646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. That's how you get a hold of us. That's really
right.
Easy.
And you do like Cliff does. He's got it literally in large letters on a Sharpie on his refrigerator.
Well, actually, it's on the top of the monitor.
Well, that's
in Sharpie. I got it sitting right here in front of my eyeballs. I had put it in great big letters on a page on the screen, but I wasn't ever on that page because I was looking at other things. So I just simply wrote it down and pasted it to the top of the monitor, so it's always there, even when I'm not doing anything. I can always see it. And right now, I'll have to admit, I can hardly see it because I went to the eye doctor again this week and had a needle poked in my eye, and it takes me about 3 days to get over that and be able to see again. And you only have one eye done at a time, but this was the good eye that they did, and so it's a little bit bad. I went on Wednesday and I can almost see. And if I spend a lot of time, if I look at it for a long time, I can figure it out, but it takes a while. The whole thing of getting old is not my cup of tea. I've got to find some way around this. I haven't figured out what it is.
Since Cliff has brought it up, the reason why he's getting poked in the eye is because he's actually fighting to save his sight. So if anybody's wondering.
Well, yeah, I will have to admit, when I went there, I actually couldn't see. I had, what is it called? Macular degeneration. Yeah. And in other words, there was a big black blob right in the middle of my eyes. And I could see around the outside real well. Of course, nothing happens around the outside. And if something happens around the outside, you have a tendency to look at it, and then it's no longer on the outside, so you can't see it again.
Right.
But anyway, it was, and I will have to admit, I went to this doctor, and Dr. Karth, if you're interested in Eugene, and he did fantastic things, and he's done very well, and I've been very happy with him, and I'm not unhappy with going in to get poked in the eye at all, except that we've now been doing this for well over a year, and we don't seem to be getting anywhere. But I guess we got to keep going because otherwise it'll go back. But as it is, I go in every so often, and I went in and got the right eye done this time, and so I can't see very well. And next week I'll go in and get the left eye done, so I won't be able to see for that. So for about 3 days I am totally... I listen to the television. I don't watch it because I can't see it. And all these crazy little things. At least today, if I make the numbers and letters big enough on the on the computer screen, I can see them. But it's difficult. It really is.
And as a seasoned radio pro that Cliff is, here he is, not being able to see a freaking thing on the air to bring entertainment. So you will pick up the phone and call us at 646-721-9887 instead of just strictly listening to us, as well as the 5,000 people a week that do listen to us on the archives. Although one of your 5,000 would be really great if you would call that number and join us too. It would be a little bit more fun. But again, also, we do get some emails at talk@krbnradio.com. See, Cliff taught me well. I can just slide right in here.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
And speaking of sliding right in here, so we can get some business out of the way. First of all, by the way, other topics on the show that I'm going to get into, quick little business commercials, is we've been on again, off again as far as we're in a recession. We're not in a recession, but we're going to talk a little bit about some companies that are closing in 2013 and a little bit about the post office limiting or not delivering on Saturdays and what you think about that. But in the meantime, one of Cliff's favorite topics, because he keeps eating the samples, is Dancing Dog Cookies, made by Tom and Kathy here in Eugene, Oregon, and are available in select locations in Eugene. Those locations are available on their website at dancingdogcookies.com. They're also, you can order them at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancing Dog Cookies, www.dancingdogcookies.com. Check them out, and especially check out page 2 on their website, because their website is under construction, and be patient with that. But they're really cool. Check them out. They do a really good job, and your dog and Cliff will love them too.
Yes, absolutely. Tell them Cliff sent you.
That's right.
Not that it'll accomplish anything, but you can tell them it.
Right.
You know, you didn't mention one of the drastic things that's happening in the news today, and that's the fact that we've got a huge snowstorm. Supposedly, it was going to be one of the worst storms of the year, one of the worst storms in history, but I guess it's not turning out to be that. It's very close, but it's not that. But people in Boston and around Bridgeport, Connecticut, for example, got 38 inches of snow. No, that's overnight. That's not in a week or a month or whatever. That's overnight they got 38 inches of snow. That's, you know,
it's not.
I'm gonna say it again. I've said it over and over again, and I'll say it one more time. I'm glad I don't live anywhere but where I live. In the Pacific Northwest, we don't get huge amounts of snow. We don't go to get. We do get huge amounts of rain, but we're prepared for it. We do get some flooding at times, but not much. But boy, am I glad I live here. And it's not by chance. It is sort of, and it isn't, because I did get born here. That was by chance.
You got
that was. I did get born here.
You did get born here.
Well, I did get born here. I was born here, but whatever. Like, but and it wasn't my fault that I got born here.
Well, no, I mean, there's a. We won't go into that. But I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure glad that out of every place in the country that you decided to stay in what the Native Americans commonly refer to as the Valley of the Death.
What?
Yeah, because of the pollen and everything here is that.
You know, I'm noticing that this year, I've been sneezing. I've been lately for the last week, I've been sneezing a lot and coughing a lot, and I don't usually do that. But this, of course, my sister Candy is she's coughing a huge amount. She's can hardly stand up at times. She's in terrible trouble. She's been trying to go to the doctor and get it fixed, but it's lasting a lot longer with her. Of course, she's had trouble with allergies all her life. I've never had a trouble with allergies until I came here.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding out I do have some. But anyway, the point is, I'm glad to live here. I didn't choose to be here originally, but since I have been able to make up my own mind and my own ideas, I have chosen to be here. There are two or three, four times that I've thought about going and moving somewhere else. I thought about going to Orlando, Florida once, because that looked like a neat place to go when Disney decided to go there. And then I looked at the weather forecast and looked at the weather trends and said, no way in hell I'm going to go there. I mean, I'm just
it would be muggy with an afternoon typhoon.
Yeah, right, exactly. An afternoon typhoon almost every afternoon. And I didn't want anything to do with it. So I just got really upset about living anywhere else. I would like to live in Germany, for example. There are some places in Germany that might be fine. I'm not sure. But anyway, I've chosen to stay here, and I'm very glad that I did.
I am, too. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this together.
That's true. That's true. Well, we might not, but we could.
Well, I wouldn't have done it.
Because, well, that's true.
this person, this college student who came in, and because we were going to do what was called a community television. So Cliff and I are both the board of directors for that, and Cliff at the time was the general manager.
I don't know.
I was never sure. He was a monkey monk at K&D in Cottage Grove, Oregon. That's how I got to know Cliff, and he was on regular terrestrial radio, doing the morning show basically, and got to know him, and even got offered to actually do a Saturday spot, which I chickened out on. Now, if he offered me, he'd be like, give me.
Well, we just got to find somebody who wants to give away a radio station. Let us run a radio station. We could have fun doing that.
Exactly.
Of course, you got to understand, you probably have to take a cut in pay.
Let's see. Nothing minus nothing is...
Yeah, I know.
The name is 646-721-9887, and we're doing the best we can here. I just put in a 13-hour shift at my job, so I'm trying to do the best I can to talk, cohesive.
See, I don't have to do things like that. I'm so old, I don't work. Yeah. And literally, I don't work. Sometimes several parts of me don't work at once, but anyway.
But anyway, getting back to like we were talking about, the $1 trillion coin anyways. Would you go spend $1 trillion for a coin? And what would happen if, honey, have you seen the coin?
Well, really.
I thought it was, it's hard. It was hard enough when they came out with the new monopoly money known as the U.S. dollar. And that was supposed to be counterfeiters couldn't copy it. And they were passing copies out of it within the first week of conception. And
well, even worse than that, the coin was the same size as a quarter.
You sort of like that gum.
I don't know why they do that. They originally a dollar was a big coin, and it was absolutely unmistakable from any other thing. And then why, for some reason or other, the government got in their mind that the coin should be the same size as a quarter. And they've done two or three coins like that, and people mix them up and mess them up, and it's stupid. I just, it could be bigger a little bit, it could be bigger, thicker, or it could be different some way. But they have this. I don't know. They're, sometimes I wonder about everybody in our government, whether they have anybody with any possible sense there at all.
Well, especially if you're blind. How are you supposed to tell, the slight sizes in the coins? I mean, because some of them are really close together. In fact, I think that was one of the complaints on, the dollar coin or one of the coins they came out with that was really, really close. I can't remember which one it was.
The gold dollar. There was one that came out with Susan B. Anthony, I think, was 10 sizes.
Yeah, Susan B., yeah.
But then the gold dollar is exactly the same size. It's the same, and it doesn't have anything. In fact, it's gold. But if you're blind, that doesn't help you a bit.
Yeah. Well, reading this article about the $1 trillion coin, as they're saying that, according to the article, there was a loophole in the U.S. Treasury that would allow them to mint a pair of coins in any denomination. And they're saying simply mint a pair of $1 trillion platinum coins and deposit them into the treasury. Okay, that's a great idea. First of all...
Well, no, it's not. In the first place, minting them costs some money. In the second place, a $1 trillion coin is only worth $1 trillion because the federal government backs it up. If you just put it in the federal government's post office box, so to speak, it doesn't accomplish a thing. It isn't out there where people can use it, so it doesn't mean anything. This whole people are stupid. People are not thinking. I don't know how. We got to talk to people. Got to talk to somebody about whose office.
Yeah, exactly. Because where I was going with that is that, you know, first of all, number one, who's going to be stupid enough to buy it? Because like I said, that it's only worth what people are willing to pay for it. And secondly, like the article, this article is really saying a lot what I'm thinking, is that they, noting that the federal government exceeds $16 trillion, the narrator announcing the coin for the New England Mint commented that a strict 16-coin limit per order would be enforced.
So, order of what?
Is there any...
Oh, making it, okay.
No, of being able to purchase it. You cannot buy more than... Because it's a limited edition, you can only buy 16 coins at $1 trillion.
Because then you'd own the entire country.
Yeah. Well, that's probably next. We already sold part of the country.
Well, the whole thing is it's all going to go collapsing soon. And I thoroughly believe this. It's not going to take it at all long because we're just being stupid about the way we're handling things, about the way we're putting things together. You know, we're sitting here talking about the president sits here and talks about how the economy is doing better, how things are getting along. And he's talking to deaf ears because, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm living the dream, so to speak. And I know damn good and well it isn't getting well. It's not getting better at all. And if anything, it's getting worse.
In fact, speaking of lead-ins, thank you very much, Cliff, to one of our other topics. Let's go ahead and squeeze into that one since Cliff just opened the door. The economy is doing so good. Do you remember that was a couple years ago that they announced that the recession was over and everybody outside of Washington, D.C. is going, what? If the recession's over, how come they keep raising our taxes? How come the states and local governments don't have any money for anything? And how come we don't have any money and it takes 2.5 people now to pay the bills? But along with that, the economy is doing so well that I'm trying to find where my bookmark is, that because of a poor Christmas season, there's a whole list of companies that are closing.
And if not closing entirely, at least closing a whole lot of their stores.
Exactly. And
I worked for Circuit City for a long time, and I can see why that would happen. I mean, what happened was Circuit City, well, just a lot of stores, a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, when the person who is the founder of that business dies, or goes away or leaves or whatever, the business goes too because people don't know how to run it. They don't know how to keep it going. And so consequently, they let it fall on its face. And that happens a lot of times. And Circuit City was one of those things. I mean, Circuit City had great ideas and great philosophy. But, you know, one of the things that they did, they fell in with the rest of the world. The world sat there. People... Okay, customers sit there and say, "Well, I want people to be my salesman. I don't want them on commission because a commission salesman is too greedy. They want more and more money, and so I want to have my salesman not on commission." The only problem with that is when the salesmen are not on commission, they don't give a damn about you, and consequently, they don't wait on you at all, and so the whole company goes under. And that's what Circuit City had an unfortunate situation of doing. They took their salespeople off commission and made them a straight salaried position. Well, they don't care. I don't care how much you pay them. You can pay them a whole lot or not a lot. It doesn't make any difference because they know what they're going to get without doing anything. And so consequently, they're just not going to do it. They're not going to bother. And that's what happened. And consequently, Circuit City is gone. The entire corporation is gone. And now,
go ahead.
I was going to say Best Buy is doing the same thing. I went in there and found out they're not on commission at all. And they don't have any tendency to want to wait on you. I went into Best Buy for a specific particular piece of the. I'm not going to say what it was. It doesn't make any difference. It was a little thing. But I found a salesman who was interested in waiting on me. Now, I will have to admit it. He probably wasn't interested in waiting on me. He was probably interested in waiting on my sister. But we still got waited on.
Well, yeah, I won't go there. Anyways, along with that thing, and I found my article, as Cliff was just talking about, Best Buy is forecast to close between 200 and 250 stores. The one-year stock performance, by the way, is down 36.8%. They have 1,056 stores, and they're saying that sales are flat, same-store sales are flat this year, especially around Christmas, where holiday revenue had declined about $12.8 billion from $12.9 billion the year before and in the recent quarter. Because remember, especially for the big box stores, that Christmas is what really makes or breaks the company. The economy is doing so good that it really hurt them. Kmart, Sears, by the way, Sears Holding Corporation, which also bought Kmart, which, by the way, I'll still bash them because in the Eugene Springfield area, which Eugene Springfield is one of those type of cities that they're so close together, we're just separated by Interstate 5. You might as well consider them one big city. Population between the two of them is about 125,000, and we had two Kmart stores, and they decided in their wisdom to close them both. Anyways, number of stores is 2,118. Stock is down 8.8%. Kmart had 175 to 225 stores. That's how much they're closing. Sears 100 to 125. And Kmart was down 3.7% compared to a year ago. And so there.
And by the way, when you're talking about Kmart and Sears, you're talking about the same company.
Yeah, that's right, because Sears is the parent company of that. So again, they're citing the same thing. Same store sales have declined for 6 years, and so they're going to close some more stores. JCPenney is another one, forecasting between 300 to 350 stores. They have a total of 1,100 stores.
See, that's interesting because I thought JCPenney had gone out of business a long time ago until I saw it came back on the Internet. I started seeing things on the Internet with it, and then I discovered it was still in business. So.
Well, it makes me wonder, too, speaking of JCPenney, Sears, and the formerly known Montgomery Wards, which used to be known for their catalogs they used to send out. I mean, granted, now with the Internet, it's too expensive, but I wonder how much that's really hurt sales not having to have that catalog.
Well, obviously, it hasn't helped sales because the JCPenney store has become mostly an online store. And they're still not making any money, still not doing well.
Well, it's harder, too, online because our radio show here, we're up against a world audience.
But JCPenney has a huge amount of money to spend on advertising to get that audience, and we don't.
Well, we would if we knew somebody that was rich enough to buy a $1 trillion coin.
Like JCPenney.
Yeah, and you can adopt me.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, same store sales fell 26.1% compared to a year ago. Even internet sales are increasing significantly across the retail sector have turned out worse, falling 37.3% in the third quarter. So they're thinking about closing 300 to 350. Office Depot. Now this one surprises me, Office Depot, because I like Office Depot. Prices are reasonable, I think, and the fair selection. They have 1,114 stores, planning on closing 125 to 150. Their stock performance is down 50.7%, reporting a loss of $21 million in the third quarter. With same store sales. Thank you, down 4% over a year ago. Now, here's a bitch and moan I have, because I worked for one of my jobs I have was a major corporation, and actually a couple of them. And it's interesting Now, Cliff doesn't like the stock market, and in a way I do, I don't. But what's interesting is that you can work for a company that whose sales are great, but if the stock price is failing, they'll go ahead and lay off people and do whatever just to try to please the investors, even though on the retail side, you know, it's booming. So that I don't understand. If somebody can explain that to me, send me an email, talk at krbradio.com.
Well, because the news, the federal, the news on the radio, on the television, and every place like that, all they talk about is sales of stock, and there's a lot more to see. Unfortunately, you take a store, Best Buy. Best Buy, the sales of stock on the stock market has nothing to do with the store itself. Has nothing to do with how well the store is doing, how bad the store is doing. Sales of merchandise in that store is what's going to make it go or not go, and people are not paying any attention to that. That's the problem we've got. This is not the government, but the people who are making the decisions are not the people who are buying, are not the people who are. They're not the people,
right?
Okay,
exactly.
They're just missing us entirely. They're ignoring us, the people who make a difference.
Right.
And consequently, I'm just as happy that they all go close because they're all doing the same thing. Best Buy, Sears, Kmart, all of those, they're all department stores, and we don't need that many of them. So consequently. If they all go under, I don't mind that at all.
To the article, too, this, by the way, this is USA Today, if anybody's interested in seeing it, as we're talking about Office Depot. They're talking about Office Depot and Office Max and Staples. They're saying all three stores were dealt a blow from reduced business during the recession that we supposedly are out of. And also because of the Internet, increased popularity on online retailers such as Amazon, really helped reduce sales and stuff. Because, let's admit it. I mean, you know, having a computer, having the Internet is kind of convenient. I mean, even with the new apps now with the cell phones, you know, one of my problems was whenever I was given a check and it takes me forever to get down to the bank to cash it. Now all I have to do is grab my smartphone, take a picture of the thing, and I can make a deposit of a check.
Which is going to be disastrous.
Well, actually, it's been working pretty good so far.
There may be at the moment, but it is going to be a disaster somewhere.
I'm sure
of that. I mean, you could just as easily have the check deposited to the bank.
Well, yeah, but you got to physically take the check down there.
No, you don't. You can have the company
direct deposit.
Direct deposit, yeah.
I'm talking about somebody just handing you a check or whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Next one on our list here is, and not surprising, again, speaking of the Internet, is Barnes & Noble forecasting to close 190 to 240 stores out of 689. Stock performance down 8.9%. And they were saying that sales about 13% compared to a year
ago. I'm amazed that Barnes & Noble is still there. Borders has already gone. And Barnes & Noble, I mean, they've got more than one. I mean, nobody buys a book anymore. Nobody buys a book. Why would you buy a book when you can go online and get it for nothing or get it for a little bit of nothing? And when you read it, it's not sitting around with this big thing. I mean, the only people who buy books are people who have this library that they think is really neat. And it's a thing that you physically got in your house. I mean, most people don't have enough room for a giant library, which has books in it to begin with.
Well, and you might as well say Barnes & Noble is pretty much gone. Like you're saying, Cliff, is that the head of the retail groups, he doesn't mention his name, he's expecting the company to have 450 to 500 stores in 10 years. So they're reducing the numbers quite a bit here. Also, the next one on the list here, and we only have a couple more, is this one I'm kind of surprised in a way, because if you have Xbox or PlayStation or something like that. GameStop was one that you could get a full selection of games, whatever, for a decent price. But they're forecast to close between 500 and 600 stores out of their 4,471, claiming stock performance is down 2.4%, revenues down 4.6% over a year.
See, now that's interesting because I've never heard of GameStop.
Yeah, like you're like with me. We don't.
I don't play games.
So. I don't play games. So, kind of the same way. I just don't have the time. And
the thing that gets to me is Apple. Apple is closing a bunch of things and losing money and all this crap, and their stock has gone way down. And you don't fight with everybody and make it public. And expect everybody to still love you, I think is what is happening with Apple. I mean, they've been beating up on every company they can think of and making them pay them money. And they better pay them lots of money because, you know, if Samsung doesn't pay enough to make up for the loss in business, they're going to be in trouble too.
Well, and also their Apple's iPhone is a good example. Because the Apple's Steve Jobs and Apple's following is what really pushed that. In the family here, we got two Androids and an iPhone. And
Apples?
Yeah. But the Apple iPhone, I think, and maybe it's just because I'm not used to it because I have the Android. I think it's a little bit harder to navigate around with, but that's just me. Here's another one that we talked about earlier, Office Max, by the way, which is forecast to close 150 to 175 out of 872, with the one-year stock performance fell 80.8%.
Whoa. That's and I would think that's enough to close the business right off the bat. I mean, when you've lost 80% of your business, I can't see possibly staying alive. I mean, that's... There's too many other stores that are doing exactly the same thing as far as what they sell and how they sell it and so on. And that's not a store that should be, well, I don't know. I have gone there to buy paper and things like that at times. There.
Also, Walmart's been a really big competitor in that regard. The last one on my list, which I'm not surprised at all about because I have a I'm not going to say I have a dog in the fight here on this one. It's just I've known this company for a long, long time. I used to hang out at this company and when I was younger. But this is when it was owned by Charles D. Tandy, who actually started Radio Shack out literally in a small one-store thing. It was a hobbyist store. You know, you could buy electronic components, you know, that if you need resistors, fuses, or whatever else, you could go there and know that they'd have it. After Tandy died, you know, the company, like a lot of things, somebody else comes in that and they decide to change things. And so now Radio Shack really, in my opinion, has never been a go-to place except for maybe to buy a fuse.
Well, now, one of the things, I don't know if you're new or remember that or not, but Radio Shack's prices used to be really good because they used to buy leftover parts. They could go buy stuff that was surplus from some company and sell it for much, much less than everybody else. But the thing with that, the biggest problem with that is you didn't know from day to day or week to week if they were going to have what you wanted.
Yeah.
Because they could sell part of it and sell it out and real quick, and then they didn't have it anymore. So that's when they decided... The big problem was they wanted to have something that they could have themselves. They wanted to have their own thing. And so they started building things or buying things that were specifically for them. And then they went to their own brand, their own name monitor, whatever. And then it all of a sudden they had to start to compete with other stores, and that was something they couldn't do.
Well, they were also, I don't know if they still do it or not, because I haven't followed Radio Shack, like say, that closely, but they used to have their own company where they made their own cables. They had Tandy Leather. Some of the, back in, did people remember what a turntable was? They had some of their turntables were made by BSR with their label on it, and they used to have really high-end, good quality equipment. Like I said, I have not really hardly been I avoid Radio Shack as much as possible because, like I say, it used to be text that worked there. Now it's just you go in looking. It was a go-to place if you needed advice or if you needed something. You know, you had a problem with your radio. You had something. You needed the speaker. You had you wanted parts, and there was knowledgeable people there. I'm not saying that all Radio Shacks are not that way anymore, but the ones I've been in have just been kind of. I mean, they're friendly people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting them down, but it's just maybe
they're not paying them enough. They're not paying them enough to get the knowledgeable people anymore. Plus, the fact the problem that they had was you mentioned the fact that you know the turntables used to be made by BSR and various and sundry things. Well, what happened was they originally sold that brand, but then that brand was having trouble, so they bought it they bought the company at a fire sale price, but they didn't know how to run the company. That was not their thing, running companies. And so they bought whole bunches of them. They bought their wires, for example. They bought the company. They bought bunches of companies, and that's what happened is they bought them, didn't know how to keep them going, and consequently are losing them. They bought Video Concepts. They sold that. They went ahead and they decided, okay, we're going to build these big giant superstores. They built two big giant superstores, realized they didn't know how to keep them open, and they had about four of them already started. They closed the two that were going and didn't finish the ones that were started. They made some major, major mistakes in keeping things going, and I'm not sure how much longer they're going to keep things going.
Well, and also my other bitch and moan with it, is that I used to own a retail store for 8 years, and one of the things that you do when you have a retail place, and it's really hard as an owner, is you walk into that store every once in a while, and you walk into it and you pretend like you've never been there before. So in other words, you get that first impression, you know, when you walk through those doors. And there's ways of stocking a showroom where you can have a lot of product or a little product and look like you have a lot of product. But one thing that Radio Shack started doing is they started compartmentizing everything, so it looked like they had nothing. But anyways, you know, and it also became very hard to go through their selections. I mean, you know, unless you want to pull out a bunch of drawers, which is the way they had it set up, or flip what do they call it, you know.
They were changing product. They were changing from parts and to things that they were manufacturing, big things. Right. They were changing to, like, they were phones. They were selling phones. Well, they didn't originally sell phones. They sold parts for phones.
Right.
And other things like that. They started selling the actual units themselves. Well, they just changed so radically, and of course. They didn't pay enough to their people, and I mean even management, they didn't pay them enough to get the good people.
No. Well, anyways, the way they're running it, their forecast closings is 450 stores out of 4,412, with a 1-year stock performance decline of 68.1%.
Yeah, that's well, I still maintain it's their fault. They don't know what they're doing, and they won't hire people, or if they do hire the person that knows what they're doing, they won't listen to them.
Exactly. The company recorded an operating loss of nearly $60 million in the third quarter of 2012. Same store sales in the quarter dropped 1.6% year over year. Revenue in that quarter fell 3.8% year over year. And so basically, like I said, this is the last store on my list. But here's the thing that, getting back to like my Kmart example, the economy one of these days is actually, you know, they're saying the economy is starting to boom a little bit, but, you know, one of these days is going to start coming back. Now, granted, a lot of companies do not, especially in the U.S., do not think long term. So they look at, well, revenue is down. We need to do something to cut costs or do whatever. So let's close some stores. You know, let's lay off people. Well, when you close, this is just my opinion. Granted, you need to cut people because you got to cut overhead, but because you know if the store turns around, you can hire the people back. But if you cut the store out itself, unless it's totally in an area that has no chance of recovery, to me, you've lost that foothold. Like, for example, in the Eugene Springfield area, if Kmart wanted to come back, it would be very hard for them to get another foothold in this area because look how, I mean, their buildings are closed. They're gone. But somebody else has got them now. So if they wanted to come back in the area, they'd have to build a new building or go get a new building. They'd have to rebuild the customer base. They'd have to, it would be cost prohibitive.
Now, see, I agree with you that it would be cost prohibitive. I disagree with you with the idea that they don't look long-term down the street as to forecasting what they're going to do. You know, you've got a store that's losing 28% for the year. How do you pay for that? You know, especially since you've got 400 of them that are doing that. You know?
Well, maybe like because one thing's Radio Shack cut out. I don't know. You remember the Radio Shack Battery Club card?
Yeah,
they cut that out a long time, and that was the thing that brought people in. I mean, it was a Radio Shack brand of batteries, which they owned, but, you know, people would come in for their free battery. You know,
we're talking about individual sales and individually hollering their stores. That's the problem. They don't have the right, they aren't making the right decisions on how to ban their stores. Of course, you see, the thing is, you can't blame the economy, because if you blame the economy, what about the big stores? You know, why isn't Walmart going broke? Why isn't Amazon.com? Why aren't they having trouble? I mean, they're in the same economy.
Well, that's because they're buying enough bulk, and some of the stuff is from overseas is cheaper, and mainly. Okay, well, I'm a Walmart shopper. I will admit it, I am a Walmart shopper. And I go there for two things. One, because they are a large enough store that the selection is fair, and the price, more so the price.
Okay, as far as price is concerned, I disagree with that. If you can't buy in bulk and buy at the lowest possible price with 4,000 stores, you got a problem.
Right.
And they do have a problem.
Well, I'll agree with you. But then again, maybe they're just got too much of a markup. You know, I've known a restaurant, for example, I won't mention the name, that went out of business. Their sales were declining. And so to compensate for the declining sales, they kept raising the price of their food. And, of course, the more expensive it got to try and compensate for lack of sales, the fewer customers that came in. Because it literally got to a point that a hamburger and fries was costing $10.
Yeah.
And who's going to go, you know, you look at this little hamburger and what you're getting, you're going, yeah, it may taste good, but value-wise, I'm not getting what I feel is my money's worth.
That's true. That's true. But then we're now getting into the management, into how you run your business, and that, I don't think it was the original idea here. But the point is, there's a million different ways of running a business, and 500,000 of them will make the business work, and 500,000 of them will make the business fail. And deciding which ones, that's what we're talking about here.
Well, and speaking of failing, if somebody wants to tell us how we're failing, how would they do that?
Well, they could do that in a lot of different ways. They could email us. That's krbnradio.com. Is our email address, and they could call us. They could 646. You know, I would really like somebody to call us and tell us what they think. And I'm serious about that. Even if they think we're bad, let us know. 646-721-9887. Or if you have an opinion about what we're talking about, 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, and I think we have a website too, don't we?
Well, that we do. I thought that was krbnradio.com, but that was also our email address. And so krbnradio.com is the I don't have it written. My God, I've got a different C drive in my computer, and half of my stuff is not here.
Anyway, 646-721-9887. Call us now. And again, if you happen to be one of the 2,000 people per week that happen to listen to us on the archives, again, thank you very much for checking us out. You can still participate in the program, like Cliff said, by sending us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, or join us right now in the chat room. Or give us a call, 646-721-9887. On this and anything else you want to talk about. Speaking of, in the last 39 minutes of the program, the U.S. Post Office, by the way, is thinking about, as we're talking about things, succumbing to the Internet, has been billions of dollars in losses, are saying. The U.S. Postal Service announced on Wednesday that it would seek to stop Saturday delivery of letters. So what do you think? Do you think that 5 days a week is good enough? Do you actually need to receive mail or your bills on Saturday?
Well, I personally happen to think that they could stop sending mail totally. I mean, everything could be just like, it would be like a big UPS then, and they could just ignore it entirely and send a UPS. But I think that the delivery of mail every day is just absurd, because they don't do enough of that to make it worth their time. I didn't realize how little the post office does, but the post office sends 186 billion pieces of mail a year.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that gets to me, I said, well, why do we do that at all? Because people will send more emails than that. Do you realize how many emails people send? 2.8 million emails are sent every second. Every second of every year, 2.8 million emails are sent. 284 billion emails a day. 284 billion. That's more a day than the post office sends in a year. So why are we bothering? Why are they bothering to try to stay in business? They should change it entirely. They don't need to have mail being delivered every day, and that they could save a huge amount of money to be delivering mail by just making it a position where they only send a mail on request, shall we say.
Well, and out of all that email, how much of that is spam?
Well, that doesn't make any difference. We get it and we send it, and we can. And that's the thing. We can, you know, how much mail is sent as spam. I mean, I get more spam mail, I guess you might call it, or more advertising than I do regular mail. I mean, other than we get a bill for a couple of things every month, and I'm trying to think of the last time somebody sent me a letter in the mail. I mean, other than holidays, my birthday or Christmas, nobody sends anything. So why are we bothering to keep the facade up? Maybe we'd all be better served with UPS or FedEx.
There has been, I don't know if this is actually true or not, but they have been a couple of years back, because of the emails been taking business away from the post office, they were actually toying with the idea of every time you send out an email, it's actually charging you a tax for it. In fact, you know, government's still playing around with some type of internet tax, you know, usage tax or whatever, you know, because we have to, you know, fund the Obama's vacation plan. But as far as I know, that isn't going anywhere, and I don't think it ever would go anywhere. And that's just like gun control. Don't you touch our guns. Don't you mess with our internet. You know, hands off, guys.
Well, I'm just as happy to see the post office go. I mean, I see no reason for it to be there, other than the fact it would be a loss, because we'd lose a huge amount of jobs. I don't know how many people the post office supports as far as paychecks is concerned. But there's just no need for it. I mean, no necessity for it. It's not doing much of anything as far as sending bills is concerned and things like that. That can be done on a post on a parcel service, whether the post office turns into a parcel service or not, or if it just goes away and we let UPS or FedEx do it. They don't need the Daily Mail. There's just no possible reason to have the Daily Mail. I mean, all it does is go out there and land my post office box and get soggy because for some reason or other, when it rains, my box doesn't stay dry. And so if it stays there overnight, I get it the next day and it's a big bunch of sogginess. And it's very, very upsetting. And plus the fact that I have to go get it, you know. They're talking about they don't want to deliver to specific mailboxes on your porch. They want everybody to have a group of mailboxes. That way they can go over there and just stop at that group and deliver there. Well, if they're going to be that lazy about the same thing, then let's get rid of them entirely.
Well, yeah, and to kind of go along with that, too, according to New York Times article, they're saying that the first-class mail volume has declined by 37%, and it doesn't say how much the use of email has increased, but it just says basically email and online payments have soared because it is a convenience thing. I mean, there are some things, like we're talking off air, that is kind of nice to get, like Christmas cards and birthday cards and other things, you know, with versus sending an e-card or something like that. It's more personable because you can sign the card with your own signature. You can also send a birthday check, that type of thing, but like you're saying, is that Monday through Friday, great. If it's an emergency, then, you know, UPS for same-day delivery, next-day delivery, that type of thing. Otherwise, you know, the only thing I get is the bills and some advertising, and I don't need that on Saturday. You know,
the postal service can turn into a package service or a parcel service. They could do that and save huge amounts of money and still make it reasonably priced. But, you know, the idea of being able to send a letter for, what is it now, 40-some-odd cents for a letter, which is ridiculous. Well, it's not. It's not ridiculous at all. It's to send a letter, to send a physical piece of paper from one place to another, and it doesn't make any difference how far away it is worth more than that, period. And we're not paying for it. So things should be changing. I mean, we need to rethink the whole idea of the post office. I mean, it's not the horse and buggy days anymore. We're not sending things by horse.
We're not?
Well, we shouldn't be. I sometimes wonder.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Pony Express, you know, we pass them on the freeway every day.
Yeah. Well, I don't, but close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's got to change because we've got to change with the times, and there's no reason we need to have to do this. As far as having a place out in the front of your house where we've got 10 mailboxes so they can stop and deliver 10 places at once, as opposed to going to every house individually, let's just screw that and not have those at all, and then the packages are delivered individually to your house. It may cost more. That's fine. But the thing is, I'm not using it as much, and I might be cajoled into using it more if it were more useful.
Yeah. Well, it has thing. I mean, you know, delivering packages, registered letters or anything like that, I mean, it has its uses. You know, I've sent maybe 3 letters in the last year, and I think 2 of those were certified mail or something like that. Most of it's email because it gets there like almost instantaneously, and it's just a better way of communication. But again, like I say, it's just a sign of the time. Like the Pony Express, for example, you know, you don't see that type of thing anymore because, like I say, the car and trucks and other things have basically... It's succumbed to the times, you know. Just like us succumbed to the times of 646-721-9887.
Things have changed.
Right.
Things change. Nothing's staying the same. We've changed. How we do things has changed, and how we're delivered for things is changing. I mean, I understand that the idea of packages, but we should just perhaps think that as a package. Everything that we have to have there is, as a physical piece, can be considered a package and can be delivered by a package service.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But like you say, as far as everything changing, even look at radio. Terrestrial radio right now is being challenged by internet radio. You got more variety. It reaches out more and more people until they regulate it, which they probably will, or tax it, or do something, license it. You know, allows people like us to have our own little radio station, along with how many other are on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, soon terrestrial radio, well, between smartphones and internet radio, it's being seriously challenged.
Well, you know, speaking of charging for things, and we're paying money now to use Blog Talk Radio. If Blog Talk Radio were to charge an extra dollar to provide their service, and that extra dollar went to the mail service or whatever, we would not usually yell and scream and holler about it. Probably wouldn't even know the difference in most instances. And so but I do worry about what they're thinking, what they're going to come up with for financing the internet, because somebody's got to pay for it. I mean, it's a huge, big expense. I mean, there's somebody's paying huge money for what we're calling internet and getting for free.
Yeah, it's called an internet service provider.
Well, and come to think of it, we're paying him too. I mean, I'm paying the internet. So we're paying, actually.
We're paying for the internet, and then there's taxes that are being taken out of the bill.
Actually, when you get down to thinking about it, we're paying a whole lot more for the internet than our mail.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get right down to it, look at what we're paying for cell phones.
Well, I'd prefer
to talk about that for a moment. I mean, like when we had landline phones, it used to be like $13 base fee for a telephone plus taxes and whatever else would bring it up to, I think my phone bill is like for one line was like $35. What we're paying now for cell phones, like say Verizon, for example, I'm paying $45 a month for my little Verizon phone with 450 minutes that I can use, plus nights and weekends.
Yeah, that's and the thing is, we're paying more than that. I mean, I'm paying $78 a month for two phones, but only 550 minutes of time. Now, there are various other things about it that are less than that. But the point is, you're right. We are paying as much or more for regular phones or for our cell phones than we were for regular phones. But the point is, on top of it all, I've got the cell phones, and I'm paying that much for that. But I am still on the internet, and I'm paying for that too. And that's costing me $60 a month because I don't have a phone, but I have to pay for that line coming in regardless.
Exactly, and if you have a smartphone, you have to have a data plan. Now, Sprint offers a data plan, unlimited usage, included in the price, but the price is kind of, well, it's included in it, I guess you might say. Verizon, for example, is an extra $30 a month, and you cannot have a smartphone without a data plan. They won't do it.
That's why I don't have a smartphone at this particular time. But we thought about going out and buying one because there are some neat phones that will do bunches of things, but none of them are as cheap as ours, and we're paying enough already.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As far as, you know, what we're paying for communication, I mean, granted, we just switched topics, but it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, we are sort of, and we aren't, because let's face it, communications is postal service. I mean, a postal service at one time was the communication service. If it wasn't for the postal service, the only other way was by sending messages by, all I can think of is Diddy Bops.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Morse code by telegraph, but you had to go there and have them send it for you and all that sort of thing. And so that was significantly more expensive than just the postal service. But the thing is, that system has changed so much that we're spending, almost everybody is spending this amount of money. I mean, everybody's paying for the internet. And I'm trying to think of somebody that I know who doesn't have the internet. And I can't think of a single person within my knowledge that doesn't have the internet. So they're all paying this kind of money.
Actually, I know of a couple of people that don't even own a computer, and in some respects, I envy them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think I know anybody that doesn't own a computer.
Yeah. I mean, I envy them for the fact that, you know, what did we do before? We had computers and the internet and I also chuckle too, speaking of smartphones, you know, you look at a bunch of people just sitting waiting or doing nothing, and chances are about 90% of them have a phone in their hand. They're either surfing the internet, playing games, or doing something like that. So, and unfortunately,
well, that's true. The whole world has changed as far as what they do is for entertainment is concerned, because we don't go out and play baseball anymore. We don't go out and do things like that. We sit at home with our phones, or we go out with our phones. I mean, that's the neat thing about the phone, is you can take it with you nowadays.
Yeah, but like you say, we don't talk. Is, for example, and I found myself doing it here, is that when my roommate, you know, started walking in the other room and go, "Hey, Reva, what do you think?" You know, I get on the phone and text her.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's a little ridiculous. That's a little far out. But we do have an instance where we know a person who lives up in the hills. He works up there, by the way, not just lives there, but he lives where he works. And, of course, he's working, and so he can't simply sit on the phone and stay on the phone all the time. So we do text him, and so that way he gets knowledge. He gets notified, you know, the little sound, and then he can get back to me whenever he wants to. And it can be as soon as a couple minutes, or it can be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Doesn't make any difference. But he can answer your phone or your questions that way. And it's actually much cheaper than just the telephone. So the texting thing, it can be, it's not just for kids necessarily. Everybody can make benefit of it.
Exactly. Yeah, it does have its advantages. It's like speaking of cell phones, picking up your phone right now, do it right now, because you'll don't miss the opportunity in 22 minutes to dial that 646-721-9887 number.
And if you really had a lot to talk about, you've already missed it. Some people want to talk and spend half an hour, 45 minutes on a subject and talking about it. So you better get started on it real quick.
That's right.
646-721-9887. That's
easy to remember. That's right. And I put this out as a question to our listeners last weekend. People that visit Blog Talk Radio in general, if you probably noticed, Blog Talk changed their format again, and we'd like your opinion. Do you like the new layout? Do you find it easy to find the shows? You know, I think that the changes they made this time were a lot better than some previous changes. But let us know what you think. Send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you? How do you find a show that you want to listen to? How'd you find us? You know, we're curious about that. And also, while you're at it, let us know when you listen to us, because that can also help us, too, as far as our broadcast times. And as always, if there's something in the news or something that you want us to talk about or give our opinion, because like Cliff and I, we always have an opinion about everything. So we'll give you our opinion about our opinion that we want to hear about it, because we get some pretty good emails, and we really appreciate the input that we get from people, and so keep.
And a lot of the calls we've had have been very interesting. People, I don't know, a lot of people who listen to our radio program and listen to Blog Talk in general do know how to talk and how to make their points very well. And we're more than happy to to hear that. We may not agree with your point and may not even like it, but we'll be more than happy to tell you so.
That's right, and this is a way to get your opinion out to a worldwide audience. Plus, back if you've never called a radio program before, Blog Talk Radio and our program in particular, because we are doing our program, is a good way to start out. And be warned, it is addicting. Once you get on the air and you want to do it again, but to do that, dial 646-721-9887. You can listen to the program live as we're doing it. And if you want to contribute, all you have to do is just push the number 1 on your touchpad, and it'll come up on my board, and I'll say, hey, welcome to the show, area code so-and-so, and you are live with us. So it's very simple. Give it a try. Give your opinion, and we promise we won't bite much. And don't be worried just because we're broadcasting to millions of people around the world.
Right. They're just listening. That's all they're doing. And if they have an opinion, they can call that number, too. So 646-721-9887. So we would love to hear from you. We really would. And about anything you want to talk about, like you say, like Robin says, we have an opinion. I don't care what it is you're talking about. We have an opinion.
Car salesman. We have something to sell.
Yeah. I'm about something to sell, but I'll sell somebody else's something.
Speaking of selling stuff, again, I want to throw out a question to our listeners, is that what do you think about the new Microsoft Windows 8? Have you had any experiences with it or not? Some people are saying that it's kind of like Vista. It's another Microsoft failure because it's more app-based. It's a good toy, but not good for business. What's your opinion on that? Give us a call, 646-721-9887, or send us an email on that. And I'm curious about that as well.
I've seen it, just barely looked at it and glanced at it once. I didn't have see enough to see enough of what it does to basically have an opinion. I'm still back on Windows XP, as a matter of fact, but ready to change to Windows 7, maybe. Vista I didn't like, and Vista I don't think anybody liked. Microsoft does make some colossal boo-boos at times, and Windows 8 or Vista was one of those, I think. They tried to get something out too fast and didn't think about it. And then that's why Windows 7 came along and cleaned up a lot of the errors and a lot of mistakes that the Vista did make. But I don't know. I just right now, actually, believe it or not, I am working on with Ubuntu, which is a different system entirely. And it's kind of interesting. It's all free, basically, which is kind of a neat idea. And I'm taking my time learning. Well, it didn't turn out that I wanted to take my time, but it's taking some time to learn the system entirely and having something different. That's the only problem that I have when I change operating systems, is that it takes some time to learn it. And, of course, as I get older and older, it takes more and more time to learn anything because I don't know if my brain keeps refusing to learn or it's just too old to learn.
You hit on a major point, though, is it? And this has been one of the bitch and moans for network administrators for Windows 8, is that especially business-wise, when you completely change everything, like, for example, Microsoft Office, when they went, I think it was 2007 when they made major changes, that they changed your familiar menu up in the left-hand corner, you know, the file, save, view, edit, tools, et cetera, help. And they went ahead and juggled that around. So now you're having to relearn something. And that's all good and well, relearning things. But when you're getting in there and you want to focus on doing the job, you don't want to go through and have to, okay, where's my save button? Where did you move it now? I don't want to. Like, for example, I do special effects on the computer, and I use older software because I know I can get in there, I know where everything's at, I know what it'll do. Yeah, sure, some of the new stuff has some really cool features on it, but I can get in there and do what I need to do in and out fast without having to go, okay, well, they changed this. This works differently now. That's hidden. I want this tool. Where's it at? I don't know. It's buried somewhere in a menu.
And unfortunately, so many times they make just little changes, little minute changes that aren't worthwhile, that aren't even worth the time to learn how to use the system over and over again. It'd be different if they made big changes that were something that we wanted to do, something that I wanted to see, something that the program didn't do before that it does now, the big changes, then I might be a little more interested in all these myriad of little changes that I had to do. Wade through to get to it.
I got an idea for a big change.
Okay.
How about making it work? I can't tell you how many times that just for doing simple stuff on the computer that I needed the computer and it decided because of whatever background update or whatever was going on in the, you know, or whatever file decided to get corrupted at the time for whatever reason, that I've had to spend time to get the dumb thing to work again just to be able to do a simple thing. And I don't install a lot of software all the time either. I'm just, you know, I use it for either, like I said, my animation, surfing the internet, doing letters. We got the computers for doing this program. And that's about it. And I can, like I say, I've spent hours before because a driver got corrupted or something else got corrupted. It's, you know, some of those systems should be set up that, especially executable files, that they can't change without being asked to change. Or the same thing with a recovery disk. You know, when you bought a computer before, it would come with a recovery disk. Now it's buried inside a protected partition in your hard drive, which is all good and well unless your hard drive crashes.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the idea of not using disks anymore for anything seems to be happening. The new computers, as a matter of fact, are being sold without even having a disk in it at all of any kind.
Right.
Everything is being done on flash drives now. Mm-hmm. And things change so radically so often that it's just hard to get used to. So consequently, I right now, for example, I'm in the process of changing. I want to watch movies. Well, you don't even, if I'm going to actually be buying a computer specifically to watch movies on. I mean, movies are going to be downloaded and going to be streamed over the line, over the internet all the time, and it's cheaper, and it's the only way to do it. Netflix, I was examining Netflix just today, as a matter of fact, before I came on with Robin. That's what I was doing. And Netflix, for $7.99, I can watch as many movies as I want, as many times as I want. And it's uninterrupted. There are no commercials in it. So why would I buy a disc, or why would I go out and rent a disc, or why would I bother to go someplace to do something when I could just turn the computer on and presto, then I can watch whatever I want to watch. And there's thousands and thousands of options to watch. Now, granted, there are more movies available than are on Netflix, I'm sure. But maybe there are the companies that have it, and if there aren't, they're going to be before too long because it's just too easy to do. And that the reason, the price, as far as I'm concerned, is reasonable. And Netflix is the only thing, again, I have to have a computer that is designated for the television, because I'm going to want to watch television, or someone in my family is going to want to watch television, and I'm going to want to do something else with the computer at the same time. So it's going to require two computers.
Exactly. Yeah, and computers are becoming more the entertainment center than actually.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, even I never thought that, because I've been in computers back in the teletype days, and you know, we were excited when we went from a black and white monitor to actually having green screen or four colors and be able to, hey, look at this, I can change my print to red or green or blue. You know, I never would have thought that I'd be looking at computers on how fast it can do video or how fast or the sound quality of it.
Well, interestingly enough, nowadays video is easy to do. I mean, that's something that they were saying something on Netflix about what requirements do you have for your computer, and they're saying, you know, almost any computer can do it. Well, any computer nowadays could do it, but a few years ago, you and I are both old, and we've sit here and lived through the days when stretching a computer too far was easy to do. It isn't that easy to do anymore.
Yeah, it's getting smaller. In fact, even the cell phones, well, my cell phone has a dual processor. You need quad processor cell phones now. And a lot of it's just because of the gaming and the videos. In fact, that's basically all my smartphone is a portable TV set.
Well, you know, this quad processor thing, I think that's a bunch of crap, because I've had a quad processor on my computer for quite some time, and I haven't seen it doing anything for me. It doesn't seem to benefit me at all.
Well, there's ins and outs of it. I won't go into technical detail, but one thing I will go into is that we have 8 minutes remaining in the program, and so there's still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887, on this or anything else you'd like to talk about. One thing I did want to kind of touch on a little bit, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the Boeing 787 batteries that's been catching on fire, and the National Transportation Safety Board is questioning those batteries and the safety of it. And that kind of brings into question the batteries that are being not only used in the jetliner, but also being used, the lithium-ion batteries are also being used in the cars.
Well, they aren't being used in the cars yet that I know of, but they are being used in other places. But I think they're going to do something about those real quick, because Boeing is talking about removing those all of them out of their jetliners and using regular NiCad batteries or something else. Boeing has also, how do I want to say this? They've suggested a different way of making the batteries. And when you're Boeing and you suggest a way to make a battery because it has a problem, you better do it, because you don't say no to Boeing very often. And so consequently, they're going to make the batteries different. But most of these companies have dumped the lithium-ion batteries, because this is not the only batteries that have burned up or caught on fire. Was because we remember had a big rash of computer batteries that did the same thing. It caught on fire and caused create big problems. And so they're going to have to consider what they're doing wrong in the lithium-ion batteries, period, with all of them, because, you know, they were talking about, okay, the batteries are built specifically, let's say, 10 inches wide. You can always make a battery 14 inches wide and make the spaces between the cells bigger, so they won't have a possibility of getting as hot. There's with that much heat that's been generated on these batteries, somebody must have been catching on pretty soon and made a different change in the batteries. I mean, they've got to notice that this is happening. So the batteries, the manufacturer of the batteries has got to change, and Boeing.
Well, maybe one suggestion would be, like, for example, the Chevy Volt, which uses a lithium-ion battery, according to, it weighs 435 pounds and consists of 288 cells. Now, most of these electric hybrids and the electric cars, they have emergency disconnects on for safety, but the disconnects are typically, you know, in the trunk. Maybe one of the things they should do is put that up in the passenger cab or the driver's side, you know, that if they need to do the emergency disconnect, that they can do it right there and just pull it out, because that's a lot of, you know, even your 12-volt battery in your car, you know, when you're looking at 430 cranking amps, that's a lot. In fact, if you were to short the battery across and, you know, besides the fact you'd melt your wrench, you could also risk blowing up the battery, especially while it's charging. I think these lithium ions, those, is that a wet cell or a dry cell, do you know?
It's a wet cell.
It's a wet cell. So as they're, now I'm not that up on lithium ion, but like on car batteries, when they're charging, they can vent. I forget what it is, electrolyte or whatever, but anyway, it risks, if a battery is poor on a regular standard car battery, you want to be very careful about open spark. Now, I'm assuming that the lithium ions that they have here are ventilated enough that that isn't an issue. But
well, the bigger thing is the lithium ion batteries are getting hot. I mean, that's what's actually catching on fire, is they're actually getting hot. Why are they building them so small or so close together or so whatever as to get hot? They can build them bigger. I mean, let's face it, you know, people may not like it a lot because they take up more room, but if it's that, if it's taking up more room and being, inconvenienced or having my car blow up, I'm probably happy to let it be a little inconvenienced. Well, I mean, there's got to be a way around this.
I think to answer that question is I'm looking at a diagram of the Chevy Volt now, and they got the battery stacked, you know, like in rear-wheel drive car where they have that hump it through the center for the drive line?
Yeah.
Well, that's where they got the batteries. It's kind of in a row there in between the seats. Because for one thing, in order to get the mileage and to get actually the performance out of it, you know, they have to make the car lighter. They have to sacrifice something, and when you make the car lighter, smaller, where are you going to put the batteries? Well, in this case, it's right in between everybody.
Well, there's a point where we need to make the car heavier again and make it safe, because we can't continue on with lithium-ion batteries exploding and destroying things. It just can't happen. Especially, you know, I would consider the fact that Boeing, Well, no, they haven't. They've had 80 airplanes that have been taken out of service because of the lithium-ion battery. Well, I'd be getting rid of the lithium-ion battery instantly. I mean, you can put in a nickel-cadmium battery and get almost the same performance out of it as you can than lithium-ion. Lithium-ion is a brand-new technology, but you can get better, just as good, out of the nickel-cadmium, and it doesn't get that hot. And then somebody needs to sit back and rebuild that lithium ion. There's got to be a way to do it that it doesn't get that hot. And if there isn't a way to do it that it doesn't get that hot, then we've got to change the system of batteries. We've got to come up with a different battery other than the lithium ion.
Well, that I was just trying to look up real quick. Sony was on the laptops, had a recall because their laptops were catching on fire because of the batteries. I'm trying to see if that was lithium.
You know, it wasn't lithium ion battery. And that's what I've been trying to say. Is this is not something new. Why haven't we done something about it? I mean, my God, this was 2 years before we had batteries blowing up in airplanes, and there's got to be something wrong there. Now, there can be I don't know what size these batteries are that are in the airplanes. I understand that they're big, and I understand they're not little 12-volt batteries like they are in just stuff that we use. But the point is, you can make the battery larger. You can designate a bigger space for it. You can put in whatever it takes to make it cool and just provide for it. They're going to do it.
Yeah, and by the way, I did confirm you are right. The Sony battery was a lithium-ion battery. So there's a trend right there.
That's the only ones we've had trouble with.
Exactly. So, like you say, maybe, you know, the limitation to that type of technology is the battery itself. Maybe they're just...
Well, what's going to happen real quick here is that Boeing or whoever is going to stop using them. And then the company's in real trouble.
Exactly. Well, we managed to make it through another program. And again, if you're listening to us on the archives, one of the 2,000 week, again, a reminder, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, or come back again and join us live next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, which is our new time day. We'll hope to see you next week.
Have a good week.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.